listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Even before the pandemic, malls were struggling. Although malls have been an iconic part of American life for decades, their popularity has waned in recent years, and many are home to vacant storefronts. Now, as the pandemic makes it dangerous to gather in large groups, malls are experiencing yet another blow, and some are struggling to hang on. Tom Dakin has been reporting on how local malls are handling the pandemic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins me now to talk about it. Tom, thank you so much for being here on Lake Effect.
You bet. Great to be here, Joy.
Malls in our region have been struggling for quite a while, but it seems like COVID-19 has in some ways struck this kind of final blow. Let's take a step back. How did we get to this place? What's happened to American malls over the last couple of decades?
Well, American malls, their heyday was really probably started in the 60s. So the 60s, the 70s, into the early to mid 80s, malls had a dominant place in the retail landscape. I'm 58 years old, so I grew up in that era. And I can remember when Kennedy Mall opened in Dubuque, Iowa, my hometown, and what it did to downtown Dubuque, which was suck the life right out of it for the most part. And the malls like Kennedy Mall, like Southridge Mall, like Mayfair, were driven by department store anchors. So Sears, JCPenney, Macy's, the late departed Boston store, those were the stores around which you built the mall. You would get maybe one or two or three department store anchors, and then you'd fill in the rest, obviously, with smaller retailers, mostly fashion retailers, clothing, shoes, accessories, but also lots of other things as well, including restaurants. And that worked for a couple of decades. But what happened was competitors started drawing shoppers away from those traditional department stores. And one of them was our very own Kohl's, based here in the Milwaukee area. And Kohl's growth was fueled by offering a lower cost alternative to traditional department stores. Kohl's is still a department store, but they do narrow the merchandise they offer. They don't try and be as widespread as the traditional department stores. Focus very strongly on fashions, home goods, not things like big appliances or consumer electronics, that sort of stuff. Kohl's also reduce their costs by having fewer employees. I'm old enough to remember going to a department store and immediately having a salesperson approach you, depending on what department you were in. If you went to the shoe department, you had somebody approach you who knew something about shoes, would help you buy shoes. Kohl's doesn't really do that. They reduce their staffing. They have the cash register centrally located instead of one in each different department. So they could offer their merchandise at lower costs, and perhaps some would argue that some of their fashion merchandise was maybe a rung lower than what you'd find at a place like Boston store, for example. But for many consumers, that was a really, really a winning combination. And most Kohl's department stores were located in freestanding locations. In other words, they weren't renting space at regional malls. They were building stores that were detached or perhaps were anchoring strip centers, smaller plazas, shopping plazas. So Kohl's began taking market share away from department stores. And then you also had other retail chains, Best Buy in the consumer electronics area, TJ Maxx in the fashion area, that again emerged as lower cost competitors to department stores. One other factor, if you're time pressed, which more and more people began to get as more and more households have both parents working outside the home. If you're pressed for time, it's a lot easier to get in and out of these various stores than navigating a regional mall. So starting really in the 90s, and then I think accelerating more in the past 20 years, you've seen a real decline in traffic at department stores, and thus a decline in traffic at regional malls.
We've talked about this in the last 10 years. There's been a huge decline in what I guess I would call in-person purchasing in general, as online retail has become pretty dominant. It seems like this pandemic has been especially challenging for all stores. Why has it been so challenging for malls?
Well, again, I think it's been more challenging for malls, I would say, fundamentally for two reasons. Again, a lot of malls are still dependent on department store anchors, and department stores are, again, taking it on the chin even harder with the pandemic. Macy's reported their latest quarterly earnings, and their sales were down considerably. They actually did a little better by narrowing their loss than what had been expected, but their sales were down by, I believe, by double-digit percentage. And a lot of that is COVID-19 induced. People aren't going out shopping as much as they were prior to the pandemic. I think that's the fundamental reason. And you think about, the nature of a regional mall. If you're really concerned about exposure to the pandemic, sometimes that takes a lot more time to navigate than a faster trip in and out of something like, say, a Kohl's or one of those other retailers, a TJ Maxx, Ulta, those types of places.
As you say, these are spaces that can be a little bit more difficult to navigate. They're also spaces where you'll see a lot of people, which makes them maybe not the best place to be during a pandemic. Earlier this month, you reported on the situation at Southridge Mall here in the Milwaukee area. What's happening there?
Well, Southridge is basically seen its occupancy rate drop considerably in recent years. They've lost some of their anchor stores, specifically Kohl's, which opened a new store a short distance away in Greenfield at a new development there, 84 South. Boston store, which also closed. These both happened in 2018 when its corporate parent Bon-Ton was liquidated. And then also Sears. The Sears store has since been redeveloped, and it's separately owned from the rest of the mall, which is typical of department store anchors, but it has been redeveloped with a Dick's Sporting Goods, Round One Amusement Center, Galaxy Golf, TJ Maxx. But the Boston store and the Kohl's store are still vacant. And the Greendale Community Development Authority, the community in which Southridge is located, took the first step towards a possible acquisition of that empty Boston store building. Because, of course, the village is concerned about making sure Southridge stays healthy. It's by far the largest commercial property taxpayer in the village of Greendale.
You also talked about, of course, Gurney Mills, which people will know is not actually in Wisconsin, but a lot of Wisconsinites do shop there because it's just over the border in Gurney, Illinois.
Yep, 10 miles south of Kenosha County. Let me add, Gurney Mills is operated by a company called Simon Property Group. They're based in Indianapolis. They're one of the country's largest mall operators. Simon is also the same operator of Southridge. And Gurney is in a similar situation, plunging occupancy rate, lots of vacancies. It's a different type of mall, as your viewers probably know. It's a mix of both outlet stores and traditional retailers. It's not the traditional regional department store anchored mall like we have at Southridge, but the problems there are similar. And in both cases, you've got two properties that are soon going to be owned by their lenders. In the case of Southridge, Simon has already agreed to hand ownership of that property over to the lenders. Sometimes that's called a friendly foreclosure as opposed to one that gets contested in court. But the end result's still the same. The lender takes over the property because the borrower, in this case, an affiliate of Simon Property, can no longer make the debt payments. And in the case of Gurney Mills, that property has entered what's sometimes called, quote unquote, special servicing. And that's a commercial real estate industry status that often precedes foreclosure. So you'll likely have the same scenario play out there where Gurney Mills will be turned over to its lender and Simon will no longer have ownership of that property. And typically what happens after a lender takes over a property like that is the lender will try and find ways to improve the property, improve the asset, maybe get some of those vacancies filled, maybe, who knows, tear down a portion of the space and rebuild something new, which is what's happening right now at Bayshore in Glendale. And then that property will be sold to a new owner, presumably a company or a group of investors that have experience running those types of properties.
when we talked about malls, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, we were talking about all of these grand plans that different places had to really get people back into the door. And now we're talking about foreclosure and the idea that a lot of these spaces are going to go away. Do we still see malls trying to transition into the future, or do we think this is kind of the death knell?
I don't think it's a death knell for any of these properties we've been discussing. Let's talk about Southridge again, since that's one where the Village of Greendale is literally going down the path of eventually acquiring the former Boston store building. The Village people, YMCA, they haven't said yet what their plan is for that building. They may not even have a plan in mind for the building. But I suspect what will happen is if they acquire it, it will be either torn down and replaced with some new use, or the building will be renovated into some new use, similar to what happened with the Sears at Southridge, again, with the Dick's Sporting Goods, the Golf Galaxy, Round One, and TJ Maxx. And that's a typical strategy that's been followed elsewhere. Brookfield Square, we haven't talked about that one yet. Brookfield Square is in their operator, CBL Properties, is in Chapter 11, reorganizing its financing. So not all is well at Brookfield Square, but Brookfield Square has taken some major steps to redevelop over the years. Last fall, 2019, a portion of what used to be the old Sears store reopened with a Marcus Theater restaurant complex, as well as, I'm drawing a blank on the name, the bumper car place where you go and you run into each other and, you know, work out all your natural aggression. And those types of uses, entertainment, dining, that's the format that has tended to be the saving grace for some of these regional malls. Now, of course, what happens? We get a coronavirus pandemic, which means you can't have people dining in close proximity to each other. You've got to run your movie theater greatly reduced capacity, and maybe, you know, some kind of a sporting event like slamming bumper cars into each other and screaming at the top of your lungs isn't the brightest idea without a mask on, right? So there's been some bad luck. Let's put it bluntly. There's been some bad luck there. But I think long term, that's a strategy that makes sense. It certainly makes a lot more sense than saying, gee, maybe Macy's and JCPenney are our anchors that are still around, which is the case at Southridge. Maybe they'll keep going. Spoiler alert, those are retail chains that are probably in some ways not long for this world. Down the road, JCPenney is in bankruptcy. It's being purchased, ironically, maybe not ironically, by Simon Property Group and Brookfield Property, which is another large mall operator. They have Mayfair in their portfolio because those two mall operators want to keep JCPenney alive because they lease space at their properties. And we talked earlier about Macy's. I mean, I'm not going to say they're a death store. They certainly aren't. But again, they've had another very difficult financial quarter. So I don't think department store anchors are by and large going to do anything but continue to fade away. I think you'll probably have some exceptions to that, but we're just going to have fewer department stores in this country, and thus we're going to have fewer regional malls, and thus those properties are going to have transitioned to new uses. And we're seeing that at Brookfield Square. We're seeing that at Southridge. Bayshore, I wouldn't even characterize Bayshore as a mall anymore. Bayshore is truly becoming a mixed-use property. They just tore down a huge portion of the traditional mall there. They're reducing their retail space there by nearly 40%, and they're going to replace that with apartments and probably a medical office building, maybe a hotel. And that's the wave of the future for these properties.
It'll be interesting to see how things end up rebounding after the pandemic. But Tom Dakin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Tom Dakin is a reporter who covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. You can find more of our conversations at WUWM.com.